So when I said velvet, start fucking.
Hello.
Wait. How does that go? At least he got the fuck ups out of the way early.
Might see.
Oh, fuck. I set on the dog's goal.
From the burning mesas of the Arizona desert to the slot machine clad boardwalks of New Jersey, it's the Imaginarium with Scott and Todd. I'm Scott Colbert.
And I'm the horror nerd, Todd Staruch.
And we always seem to sometimes start this show with sad news about celebrity deaths and whatnot. So today I thought we would start with some good celebrity death news. And Pat Robertson is finally fucking dead.
Did I know that you were going to say that? As soon as you said some good celebrity news, I'm like, here it comes, Pat Robertson.
Yeah, and the reason it took him so long to die is God didn't want him and the devil doesn't take returns.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he, you know what? It's funny. He was one of those deaths where I thought he already was dead.
He died about 17 years ago. Nobody just bothered to tell him.
But, you know, I guess he hadn't said anything completely fucking outrageous in a while. So
I was
unaware of that he was still alive.
Yeah, I'm assuming that might have been due to health reasons, because I know he'd been saying stupid shit not all that long ago, like maybe a year or two ago. But then, like everything else, you know, when he shuts up and people go away, you just kind of forget about him, you know, until they say something stupid again or they end up dying. And they, oh, yeah, I remember that son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's having an uncomfortable talk with his God right now.
I think you're right.
Or he's sweating his balls off.
or both. Sadly, he was one of those people who was very charismatic, very popular, had an enormous pulpit to speak from, and did nothing but just say hateful shit for decades.
Yep.
You know, like, he could have done a lot of good, you know? And but nope. Just was a dick, pretty much.
Yeah. So, and it's also, I find it very fulfilling and quite humorous that he died during Pride Month.
Yeah.
As I would like to believe that was God's gift to the gay community.
It could very well be.
If you... Since I have no trace of empathy or humanity for him, you're right. I don't. There's very few people I have that type of feeling for, but Pat Robertson is certainly one of them.
Now, listen, he was an asshole, right? When you every time there's a disaster, you go on the air and say, well, this is just God punishing us for whatever, pick something, homosexuality,
yeah,
abortion, whatever you want it to be, like whatever it was on his mind that day. You're just a dick.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
And the scary thing is, like, millions of people would be like, yep, I understand. I hear what he's saying.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the scary thing. You know, people agree with him and send him money. You know, a lot of money over the years, hundreds of millions of dollars, no doubt.
Dude,
from people who could afford it the least, which always grinds my gears.
You and me both, man. You and me both. My grandmother was a big, who's the guy? He built the Crystal Cathedral. One of those.
Oral Roberts.
Schuller. Robert Schuller.
Schuller. Yeah. Schuller. Down in Texas.
Yeah. I want to make sure that that's the right. Robert Schuller. She loved that guy. And as soon as I got old enough to kind of realize what a con man was, I was just a kid. I thought I was, and I found out that adults don't like uncomfortable questions, you know?
Yeah.
Like when I said, Grandma, everybody sends this guy money. And what did he use it for? To build this big church made out of glass. Like what good does that do? And yeah, that did not go over well in my household. I'll tell you,
I'm sure.
I don't know. I thought it was a fair question.
Yeah. So they can throw stones through it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there you go.
So a sadder celebrity death that I read yesterday, and this really kind of bummed me out, was Pat Cooper.
Yeah.
And he's another one who I thought had actually died a while ago. But he was 93. He had a good run.
Yeah, that's a good run right there. We talk about that a lot.
Yeah. This is my favorite story that I read in the obituary a story about his death in the Hollywood Reporter. In his 2011 memoir, How Dare You Say How Dare Me, an autobiography of a life in comedy, Cooper wrote that he never appeared again on The Tonight Show after a drunken Johnny Carson accidentally urinated on him in the bathroom of a New York nightclub in the early 70s. That tale was related in the chapter called
Wow.
I'd Rather Be Pissed Off Than Pissed On.
Wow. My grandmother loved him, obviously she was Italian, so she saw him a bunch of times in Atlantic City, a bunch of times like up in the Catskills at different country clubs and stuff. But I think I still have somewhere in my attic some vinyl album, some Pat Cooper comedy albums.
I'm sure they'll probably be worth a little bit of money.
Yeah, probably. But
yeah, I know my Uncle Al was a big fan of his. Now, his wife, Rose, was Sicilian, first generation Sicilian. So she was a big, I'm assuming she was the Pat Cooper fan. And, she kind of turned my Uncle Al on to him. But I know he had a couple of his albums. And I remember we would go and visit them in Jersey. And we listened to one of his albums one night. Everybody sitting around in the living room. Because Pat Cooper is fairly clean. He didn't.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Curse or here or there. But he had this joke, and I mentioned it in a post on Facebook yesterday. But it's really one of my all-time favorite jokes. Guy rents a room at a hotel, goes up and sees water in the sink, and calls down to the desk clerk. Says, I got a leak in the sink. And the desk clerk says, sure, go ahead. I love that joke. As only a 10-year-old would be able to love a joke about pee.
Exactly.
But I really did enjoy him. He was really funny. I thought he was a Borscht Belt comic. And I had originally put that in my post. But then I thought, was he really? And he did some work in the Catskills, but I never saw him actually referred to as a Borscht Belt comic. But he certainly was of that particular generation of comics.
Yeah, for sure. I think my grandmother saw him mostly in Atlantic City because she was one of the, bus trippers, down to AC all the time. Yeah. That was like I think it still is, but went right after casino gambling became legal. She was one of the big taking the bus to Atlantic City today,
Yeah.
And a lot of times she'd stick around for a show, and it was mostly like a Pat Cooper or Tony Bennett or something like that, But I just clearly remember because we used to take her. There was this one place, Villa Roma. I so clearly remember it up in the Catskills where she would go all the time. And every once in a while, she'd say, oh, Pat Cooper's going to be here this weekend or whatever. But no, he's generally not lumped in with that group, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know why I thought so. I guess maybe because he was kind of that generation, the latter part of it for sure. Because I think just about every Borscht Belt comic is dead. Although I think Mel Brooks did work up there at some point. Anyway, Pat Cooper had a good run. And if you're able to check out any of his stuff on YouTube, check it out, because he's really funny. He is.
He is very funny.
The angry comic. He was Lewis Black before Lewis Black was Lewis Black.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, really, think about it. He was the Italian Lewis Black.
Oh, totally. Totally. His nickname was the outrage, the comedian of outrage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for sure. Man, he's definitely a funny guy. Definitely. That's too bad. But like you said, 93, that's a good run.
It is. Really is. You know what else was a good run? And I am actually remiss in not reminding you of this. It's just been chaotic the last couple of weeks. Work has been really fucking insane.
Yeah, same here.
We had 900,000 calls in May alone.
Holy shit.
Yeah, you know, we processed 500,000 new passports so far this year.
Huh. Where are all these people going?
Europe. Yeah, you know, for a country that's supposed to have a really shitty economy, people are going places.
100%.
You know? It's amazing. It's amazing how badly our economy is, yet people still can find the money to go somewhere.
Dude, please don't even get me started. Do not light my fuse on that.
I won't. I had enough of that when I had to talk to my sister on Monday. So.
Well, it's not just like, oh, about the economy or the government or whatever. It's just there, you know, we're into spring and summer. It's the height of convention season. And somehow all of my friends who don't have money, like to put tires on their truck, have money to spend on autographs and photo ops and shit, you know, like
priorities,
dude. And again, I will never tell anyone like how to spend their hard earned money that they went out and worked for. But I do find it very disingenuous when you're like starting a GoFundMe because you can't fix your car, but then you post like, and they don't even see the irony of it at all. They post these pro photo ops from conventions that I know cost $70, $80, $100. And I'm like, okay, keep begging for money, you know?
Yeah, I don't get that. It just, because, you know, all that does is harm people who actually really do need to do a GoFundMe, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, what I was getting to at the beginning of that, talking about a good run, is this is our 350th show.
Shut up.
Yeah. Or the 350th show of the Imaginarium. It's like 325 for you, whatever, 330. Well,
listen, at this point, right? It's pretty much splitting hairs. You know what I mean? We've been together a long time now.
Short gray hairs.
Yeah. Wow. But,
350.
Wow, and man, that's a lot.
It is. And I'm going to go more into it when I talk about RJD passing away in a little bit. But I just wanted to mention that it was our 350th show, and we didn't plan anything for it because I didn't even really think about it until a day or two ago. And I just didn't, think about mentioning it. Well, I did think about it, but I just kept getting sidetracked by stuff.
Yeah, man, I get it.
Yeah, because I'm getting a cataract removed on the 28th, so that'll be exciting.
Wow.
Dude, you have no idea how much anxiety I have about the idea of somebody, operating on my eye.
Dude, no, this is the main reason why I haven't gone for LASIK. I have the same thing about anything near my eyeballs. That's why I don't have contact lenses. I can't bring my finger close to my eye to put in a contact lens.
Now, the optometrist that I have, the doctor who's going to be doing the surgery, Dr. Brams, he's a very nice guy, very good doctor. He's very intelligent. He actually invented surgical tools for cataract surgery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he's been published in, a bunch of journals and everything. And I was telling him about all this anxiety. And he's like, well, where do you think that stems from? As if he's become a psychiatrist all of a sudden. And I said, well, I know specifically. And I told him the story of this movie I saw when I was a kid, Horror of the Black Museum, I think. It was an old British horror movie from 1959. And in one of the scenes, woman gets a pair of binoculars as a gift. And as she's focusing them, turning the knobs to focus them, these two spikes shoot out and pierce her eyes.
Oh, I remember that movie. Oh, I remember that scene. Okay. Yeah.
Now, this was 1959, so it was not graphic by any stretch of the imagination. But she's got her hands up to her face with the blood running down it. So, your imagination did more work than anything.
Right.
But that's what started this, fear. And I told him this, and he just looked at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I thought, well, I guess I won't be telling them about my books.
Yeah. Dude, I don't even know where my eye phobia thing comes from. I don't even know. I just always remember that, just being like that. Like, I don't even like when you go to the eye doctor and they have to do that test where they puff the air into your eyeball, like the glaucoma test or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is worse because now you fucking know it's coming, So my eye doctor, I've been going to her for years and years and years. So she literally will just trick me. She'll ask me a question or whatever about my daughter. And then all of a sudden she'll just hit the button and pull in. I'm like, you bitch. Yeah. Swear to God, you're going to catch hands.
Well, funny thing about this is when I went to see him Tuesday, he dilated my eyes, and I specifically got an early morning appointment. It was 8:30, which is early for me. And because I figured I knew he was going to dilate my eyes, and I assumed that by the time I got to work at 2 p.m, my eyes would be, well enough to be able to see. Well, no. Everything was still fucking blurry when I got to work. And I stayed for about... I was there for about an hour, and I had to literally put my face almost right on the keyboard to be able to see which letters were which. And one of the assistant supervisors came around and said, are you asleep? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I just can't see my goddamn keyboard. And he's like, what's wrong? And so I told him. And then he told my supervisor, unbeknownst to me, because I was going to try and stick it out. And then my supervisor messages me on Microsoft Teams and said, are you okay? Do you need to go home? And I'm like, well, I can't see anything. Everything is a blur. I'm trying, but my face is right up against the keyboard. And she's like, well, if you need to go home. Don't worry about it. I'll cover you. So I had to go home because I couldn't see a fucking thing. And I felt like an idiot because... it's one thing to leave work early because you don't feel good. But I felt fine. I just couldn't see my keyboard, the letters on the keyboard, or my computer screen. So,
wow.
Yeah. And when you're trying to schedule appointments for people, I didn't want to make any mistakes because...
Sure.
These people are angry enough anyway because they haven't gotten their passports yet.
Mr. Colbert, why did you book my appointment for 2033? No, man, I get it. My dad is my dad towards the end of the month is having a cataract removal as well. But from what I understand, today's process is so much quicker, safer, and easier than back in the day.
Yeah,
they were like, "No, you'll be in and out like within an hour. You know, you'll be home. Just you can't drive yourself home, but you'll be in the office and out within the hour."
I'm yeah.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah, Dr. Bram said it only takes about 15 minutes for the operation. Yeah. So, and he said I should be able to see much better with my right eye, which is the one getting the surgery first, probably within at least 12 hours, if not sooner.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, the vision in my left eye without glasses is 20/40. You know, which is
not terrible for a man of your advanced years.
Exactly. The vision in my right eye with the cataract, that needs to get taken out first is 20/150.
Yeah.
20/150. Fucking blind.
I had a conversation the other day with a really good friend about modern medicine. He so it's a very good friend of mine. So I had a little get together at Cafe Z this past Saturday for my 55th birthday.
Yes. Yes.
I'll have some pictures and stuff. It was just some close friends and stuff. And he was notoriously absent, but he's also the kind of person that's notorious for not showing up at things, you know? So I see that he calls me. And I saw that he left a message the next day. And I'm like, I can't wait to hear what the excuse was. Well, it turns out that it was a pretty good one. He had spent 5 days in the hospital because of a cerebral hemorrhage.
Oh, shit.
And then we started talking about like modern medicine. Like, say what you will about doctors or healthcare or whatever. But there are like legit miracles out there. You know, he had a brain bleed. Now, it was a capillary, so it cleared up mostly on its own. But again, no brain surgery or anything. They just threaded in a tiny wire, cauterized the capillary, removed it, done. Like a 30-minute procedure, you know? Yeah. And he's fine now. No long-term damage, no loss of brain tissue or anything. And I'm like, that's like magic to me. You know what I mean? Like the fact that they can do that, or the fact that they're going to fix your eye just like that, you know, like
within
15 minutes. So I know it's fashionable to like hate on science or doctors or whatever, but then those same people, like when they get sick, like what's the first thing? Well, take me to the hospital, you know, not, hey, you know what? I think I'm having a heart attack. You better take me to church, you know?
Yeah.
Or some shit. Or take me to my friend's house. He's a Facebook doctor, so he knows a lot about this shit. take me to my buddy's house. He seems to know about these things.
Yeah, no, you will never hear me disparage doctors. With all of the doctors that I've seen over the last few years, just since you've known me, really.
Yeah.
I've been to, a fair share, and I've had my fair share of procedures and operations and whatnot. And I will never disparage doctors or science because they have made my life so much better because of what they do. I don't like taking all the pills I have to take every day, but that's a small price to pay to be able to live in a relatively comfortable life.
Yes, yeah, dude, I hear that. Look, in the past, right? Oh, you've got cataracts? Guess you're going to go blind then.
Yeah.
You know? And you would just slowly wait to just go blind, you know?
Yeah.
And that's it. So.
So, all right. Speaking of going blind.
Wow, that's a segue.
Yeah. Great to hear this one. Chris Christie popped out. Blocked out the sun when he said he was running for president.
Yeah, and man, our illustrious former governor. is at it again.
Yeah, as I said before the show, when he is the voice of reason for a political party, you know they're in trouble.
You know, when it comes to Chris Christie, I was not the biggest fan in the world, but he wasn't, I think, as bad as people made him out to be, you know, like he went up against the teachers union, and people don't like that. People don't like, you know, when you go up, you seem like you're attacking teachers. But then when you started to dig into it, it was like these townships here in New Jersey are going broke because they can no longer afford like these exorbitant pensions and stuff, you know, like, and I think at the time, and I could be wrong about the numbers, and I probably am, but they wanted the teachers to contribute like, I don't know, 5% or something like that to the cost of their health insurance. And apparently that was like a huge problem. And I'm like, should I tell you what I pay for health insurance in the private sector? You know, like, but there were times where he would say shit where you would just put your head in your hands and be like, oh my God, he's at it again. You know, so I get why people don't like him, but he seems now, I think he's running because I think he knows now what to say to be the anti-Trump, you know?
Yeah.
And he knows how to go after what people don't like about Trump, you know? So we'll see. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. You know, I certainly don't think he's going to get the nomination. My guess is we're going to be next November, we're going to be voting for either Trump or Biden again. That's what I think.
Unless Trump goes to jail.
Well, yeah. I mean, we can always hope for that.
Yeah. You know, and here's the thing, and I never thought I would ever say this, but if Christie actually won the Republican nomination and he went up against Biden, I would have to think very hard about which one I would vote for.
You and me both, brother. You and me both. Truth.
You know, and the truth is, I might just vote for Christie.
Yeah, I would not. Let's put it this way. Sitting here right now talking to you today, I would not rule it out. I wouldn't be able to say, well, I can't rule it out.
Exactly.
I'm not a strict party voter either. I never have been. I'm an issues guy. You know, so there have been times where like local elections here in New Jersey or midterms or whatever, I have voted Republican just because I like the candidate. You know, there are, as much as I'm liberal and a Democrat, there are shitty fucking Democrats out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah. And I just, so people understand, you know, I haven't gone soft in my dotage. I just really think Joe Biden is too old to run. He shouldn't have run the last time because he was too old. And, you know, next year he's going to be 133 or something.
Yeah.
It's time to put Grandpa in the nursing home. And I like Joe Biden. I really do. But, you know, is he going to become Nancy Pelosi next year?
Right.
You know, she's just become embarrassing, you know, and it's not her fault. She's got Alzheimer's or whatever, but she needs to retire from her seat. She's just not there anymore, and that's my concern with having Joe Biden for another 4 years. Is, you know, is he going to be there? You know, mentally, is going to be up to it. I have no issues with him right now, but you know. When you get to 82, 83, you know, decline happens almost overnight.
Yeah. And look, I just, you know, and I'm, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, and I think at some point you sort of just lose touch, you know, with your overall constituency at that age, you know?
Yeah.
Hell, I'm only 55. I wonder, like, does Joe Biden understand the things that I care about? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, dude, yeah. And speaking of old, I'm just saying, God, when did they mummify Dianne Feinstein? Like, holy shit. Like,
right?
They wheeled her out, and I was like, ah!
See, and that's... Whoa! And that's one of those cases where someone just went downhill, like, boom, almost overnight. Now, granted, it started slowly, but, like, over the last year, she really took a decline. And I happen to like Dianne Feinstein, too. When she ran for, it was one of her very first elections. I was living in the East Bay at the time when she was running for whatever office it was. This was back in the early 90s. And I liked her then. And she was smart. She was attractive. She was fairly youngish. She was somebody who could command a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I'm not even sure she could command a funeral.
Well, she did say that she's not seeking re-election, you know, so to her credit, you know, she's like, look, she's 89. It's like, okay, it's time to call it a career, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, but yeah, I mean, when she came back, you know, and then she was wheeled out. I was like, oh, whoa.
Yeah, it was shocking. Absolutely.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it really was. So.
All right. Wow. So
just one last thing about Chris Christie. You know what my biggest disappointment with him was? I don't know if you remember this because, you know, I don't know how tuned you are to New Jersey politics. But do you remember Bridgegate, right? Like, it was this whole controversy where, to screw over a political rival, he ordered like traffic patterns to be reconfigured
towards
the George Washington Bridge, and it caused this traffic in Fort Lee and everything. And I'm like, man, New Jersey has a proud tradition of political corruption. And that's the best political screw job you could come up with, is to snarl traffic going onto the George Washington Bridge. Really? Like, we used to whack people in this state. You know? Now, the best we can do is to cause a traffic jam? Oh, come on. As a New Jerseyan, I was very, very embarrassed.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm like, come on. That's the best we can do. Like, we used to, I was expecting, oh, well, we kidnapped the guy's wife. We threatened children we took pictures of his children at the playground, you know. And nope. We put up some traffic cones and diverted traffic.
That's putting Jersey to shame.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, God damn it, Jersey.
Well, you know, Mafia is not as powerful as it used to be.
Nope, that is for sure.
Oh, jeez. All right, so anyway, over the weekend, I got news from my friend Cam, who's somebody that I've known since before the Imaginarium, and let me know that Ronnie James Dio, not the singer, but he was co-host with me and Slate Fist Crunch for the Supernauts debate show, had passed away from complications to his diabetes, and he was only 51. And it really came as a great shock, because Dio was really, I would say he was really like my first really big fan, which is kind of odd considering how things end up turning out. But he always, you know, he encouraged me to write the articles on the John Waters movies and everything like that. You know, then he encouraged me to put them together and put them into a book form, you know, which I did, you know, for the four directors, David Lynch, David Cronenberg, Terry Gilliam, and John Waters, which you can buy at Amazon. The physical copies and wherever ebooks are sold. Shameless plug.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a real, I mean, he really was a big supporter of mine. And after I did my very first podcast with the Shut Up Kids podcast for two specific shows, and they had me back on to talk about my John Waters book, because that was the first one that had come out of the four. He really, you know, he was very supportive of me. And then they asked, he and Abe asked me to just do a test run for this podcast that they were thinking about doing. And it didn't really have a name yet, but it was going to be a debate show format where we would debate different topics, you know, in pop culture. And we, the three of us, when we recorded that first show, we all got along so well and it went so smoothly that, you know, we just decided that, you know, this is it. You know, it's going to be the three of us. And, you know, occasionally we'll have, you know, a guest on when we can. And that was that. Then Slate developed the Supernauts website, which I think you vaguely remember because that.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then he gave that over to me, and then it just kind of fizzled because I couldn't. Anyway, Supernauts worked until it didn't. And around that time, like maybe 15, 20 episodes in, I was thinking about doing my own podcast. I wanted to do something that was kind of NPR-like. Just having, it was just me and a guest, you know, talking about creativity, music, movies, you know, whatever the case might be. And it did very well in that format. It was actually featured in Apple iTunes in the top 100 podcasts in my third or fourth week of doing the show, which is something I'm still rather proud of.
Absolutely.
But the Supernauts debate show, the third one, that was the first time that Wade and I actually ever talked. And that was like October of 2014. And it's, you know, looking back now, I'm not quite sure what the disagreements between Dio and myself and Abe were. But there was definitely some tension going on behind the scenes. And this week's Imaginarium show was actually a very, 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 very old Supernauts show that is maybe my sixth Imaginarium that had RJD and Slate Fist Crunch on. And we were talking about mostly the Supernauts and what led up to the Supernauts. There's a lot of history, you know, I suppose personal history in that show, but it was also a lot of fun. And that was back when the Imaginarium was only about a half an hour. Can you believe that? This show being only half an hour. It takes us a half an hour sometimes to get to the topic now.
Right. Exactly.
But there's tension, there was disagreements, there was a big blowout, and that was around the beginning of 2015, and I hadn't talked to Dio since then, or honestly, even Slate Fist Crunch, a.k.a. his name, real name is Abe, since then. So when I, you know, I heard that RJD had passed away, I was shocked, and then I felt kind of sad about it because he was really a nice guy, and we did get along well on the show, and we worked well together because we didn't always agree on anything. And it just made me kind of wistful about, you know, how easily you take things and people and situations for granted, and, you know, just how fleeting life can be. And you know as well as I do, as we get older, those types of thoughts tend to become more front and center as we get closer to meeting our makers. But it just really, you know, hit me because there is, you know, everything that I've done up to this point in my life, whether it's the books, you know, the Imaginarium or whatever the case may be, all stems back to that. You know, the encouragement from Dio. And, you know, it's a lot of what I've done is because of him. Now, I say that, and anybody at this point who has listened to the show that I posted this week hears me talking about the Shut Up Kids getting me started into podcasting. And that's true. That, you know, is definitely true. They were the first podcast I was ever on, and that led Abe and Dio to ask me to do the Supernauts. But without them asking me to do the Supernauts and being on that, there would be no Imaginarium. There would be no collection of the movie essays on the directors. Although, judging from some reviews, some people would think that would have been a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a little part of Imaginarium behind-the-scenes history is gone. And it's kind of bittersweet with this being our 350th episode that there's a little piece of it now missing.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm sorry for the loss of your friend, you know, but you're 100% right. Time, we're on this planet a really short time, all things considered, you know? So you're right. Time is fleeting. Yeah, I read your little, you know, your little history of it, you know, before my time. But I do remember the Supernauts. And, you know, when you said Abe, I'm like, oh, okay. Now I know who that is.
Yeah, because I think he was on the show with you.
He was. He was way early on when I really first started.
Yeah, when I didn't think you could handle it alone, and I couldn't do the show 1 week, so I had Abe step in for me.
Yes.
That's how much confidence I had in you. Well, I want you to be my co-host, but I don't trust you to do it alone.
Now I remember. You know that, yeah. The co-hosting with Abe a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're coming up on 10 years this year. November will be 10 years of the Imaginarium.
Wow.
And that's just, dude, that's just fucking insane. You know, I can't even fathom that. The only thing I've done longer 10 years or longer has been masturbate.
Well, didn't need to think about that.
And I'll send you pictures if you need. Well, listen,
do not threaten me with a good time.
Oh, better yet, I'll just send you an OnlyFans link.
Nice. Okay. I was hoping you'd set one of those up.
Yeah. Well, you know, people were asking me what the best way to diet is, and I said, just look at me naked. So that's why I set that up.
Oh, God.
But well, seriously, you know, we are coming up on 10 years, and Dio passing away has really made me think a lot about the things that we've done and the people we've had on. And you know, it really has been so much fun doing this show. Sometimes it's been a chore, and a lot of times I've just wanted to quit for no other reason than I just get burnt out, which is why we started during the summer.
Yeah, a little summer hiatus.
Hiatus, yeah. And Ask Wade, you know, in those first 5 or 6 years, I think I told him I probably wanted to quit doing it almost every year. And it always took him telling me you're not gonna quit. The same way I tell him that he's never gonna be able to totally quit making movies. You know, I'm never totally going to be able to quit doing Imaginarium podcasts. I imagine actually at some point I will. Because you know, what am I gonna do? Be 70 and still tell dick and fart jokes?
Well, why not?
Well, why not? Is by that age, I won't be able to remember them.
Well, listen, man, I totally get it. 10 years to commit to doing anything is a big deal, I think, especially these days where you can't, like, some people can't commit to doing something once, you know. It's, yeah, look at me. I was doing that ranting and raving podcast for a while, and then I'd forget, and I'd maybe do an episode here or there, and I'm like, oh, what the fuck am I doing here? You know? So I totally get it.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I think, you know, you and I are definitely of that generation where, you know, we tend to stay at things. You know, people in our generation have generally had the same job for most of their lives. Yeah. Us kind of excluded, I suppose, out of that. But you've been at your job for quite a long time now.
Yeah, it was in March. It was 9 years, which in IT is rare. I don't know if the statistic is currently the same, but generally in information technology, there was a time where the average length of job for an IT person was only 18 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know people that jump every couple of years for various reasons. I like stability and consistency. So my last two jobs prior to this were both nearly 10 years each, you know, because it's the devil, you know, and
yep.
I just like stability. And people find out often that the grass is not always greener, you know?
Nope.
And people will jump like, oh, but I want to make more money. And they jump to a new job for more money, but not like a lot, like not like life-changing money, you know? So you're going to uproot your whole life and everything for a couple $1,000s a year. It never made sense to me, you know? But especially now I've got a good gig. I work from home. My boss is really chill. Like, he leaves me alone as long as work is getting done and I'm productive. You know, he doesn't bother me. I was at a friend of mine is kind of uprooting. He's leaving New Jersey after living here his whole life, and he's moving to Tennessee. So he had a going away party, and I was talking to the people at my table about like work from home. And a couple of them are like, we have the kind of job where like the boss checks. And if you haven't moved the mouse or typed on the keyboard in X number of minutes, like they're asking you questions. And I'm like, my boss barely knows what I do all day. You know, like they don't care. But then again, the nature of my job is such that I could be on the phone with a customer for a half hour and it doesn't require any interaction on my computer. So I might be on the phone in my living room, you know, or something. So I have a good gig is all I'm trying to say. So
yeah,
hence absolutely. Me being here, you know, for a long time. I just like the stability.
Yeah, there's something to be said for stability. I mean, there really is.
So,
and that's not,
go ahead. No.
I was just going to say, that's not something that many people can say anymore. That's all.
Yeah. So we're going to start to come up on the end of the hour. So I wanted to talk about a movie that I saw. So a couple of weekends ago, I got together with my original crew. We got together, we were watching movies, and we watched this movie from Finland called Sisu. I don't know if you've heard about it or if you've watched it. S-I-S-U, Sisu. It's a Finnish word that means, it roughly translates as like grit or determination, you know? And holy shit, was this movie good. It's a straight up action flick, simple plot. It's about a guy who it's the dying days of World War II. It's about a guy who was in the war and now he left it behind him. He lives alone on a farm and he discovers a big deposit of gold on his land. And he digs it up and he's going to go cash it in. And he runs afoul of a troop of German soldiers going the other way. and let's just say mayhem ensues because they steal the gold and he does not like that. And it, like, again, very simple action plot, but it is gloriously violent and over the top. And you have to suspend some disbelief, like, especially towards the end. But it is, to me, it's an action movie done right. If you you gotta watch it. I don't think it's streaming anywhere yet, like, for free or as part of a subscription. Like, we pay, like, we just chipped in. It was like $20 to buy it. So we just chipped in, you know, there's four of us. So we just chipped in to buy it because we had heard good things about it and it was worth every penny. So if you're listening and you haven't seen Sisu, I highly, highly recommend it. But if violence and gore bothers you, then do not blame me because it gets a little messy, but it was awesome. Other than that, I haven't really watched any movies. I'm still working my way through the X-Files.
Yeah, I'm actually watching, I started watching Futurama from the beginning because the new season is starting on Hulu next month.
Mm.
And I always loved Futurama, but I missed more than what I've watched, so I figured I would start watching it to get kind of, I don't want to say caught up, because, I mean, you know, it's a fucking animated show. There's nothing to get caught up on. But I just kind of wanted to get the vibe for it, because I'm really looking forward to seeing a new season of it.
I am aware. I, of course, know what Futurama is. I know all the characters. I've seen clips. I have never watched a single full episode of Futurama. Can you believe that?
Oh, heathen. Heathen.
Yeah. For no real reason other than I just never got to it.
No, I get it. I get it.
But maybe I'll binge that next. Because I finally, it took me so much longer than everybody else, but I finally cut the cord on TV.
Did you?
Yeah. I don't know what took me so fucking long. I wasted so much money because I also still had like the voice package. I haven't used an actual phone set in years. I only used my cell phone. So I was paying a monthly fee for the phone, the voicemail, and everything. My Verizon bill went from like $220 down to $70 a month.
Holy shit, that's big.
Because that I got, and I went, so it's funny, I'm talking to the sales girl, and she's like, hold on, let me look up your account. She's like, whoa. And I'm like, what? And she's like, you are on a really old plan. You know, you were, even if you did nothing, I could upgrade your internet speed, give you more TV channels, and you'd probably save $40 a month.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, so how come no one from Verizon ever called me to tell me that? And she just laughed. And I'm like, that's what I thought. I said, you know, you guys have been sucking an extra $40 a month out of me for God knows how long. But yeah, so it's weird though, getting used to it. Like, I watch Jeopardy every day. So it was kind of weird the first day where they turned it off. I sit down, grab my dinner, hit the button, and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have actual network TV anymore. So I just have to order myself one of those HD antennas, you know, just to get the local channels. So,
Your TV doesn't have that built in?
No, I have a really old Panasonic plasma TV.
Yeah.
My TV is like 18 years old, but the picture on it is still so good. I can't bring myself to get a new TV because I can't justify it.
Yeah.
No, you know, and my Xbox gives me all my, you know, my Prime Video, Netflix and all that stuff. So I don't really care about the TV, you know?
Yeah, no, I get that.
I'll figure it out. Maybe I'll get the live TV. I have Hulu, so maybe I'll just upgrade it to where I get the live channels through Hulu, you know?
Yeah, sure. My TV is about that old. Well, this was my mother's TV. She got that when big screen TVs were just coming out. And this is a Sony, I think it's 42 inches. But she paid something like $5,000 for it when it first came out.
Yeah.
Which shows you exactly how long ago that was. And it's heavy as fuck, too. So it's not like there's no back to it. There is a little bit of a back. That's how my cat ends up sleeping on the top of it, because there's enough of a back for it to get her so she can balance herself on it. And I would really love to get like an Android TV or a Roku TV, but I can't see getting rid of this. The picture is great, you know, and I just have a hard time justifying getting a new TV when this one works fine.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the big thing. Like, people come to my house and they go, "Oh, did you get a new TV?" I'm like, "No, look, the picture's so good." And yeah, I paid $3,100 for my TV when it was new. And people are like, "Oh, you should get a new one. They're so thin and everything." And I'm like, I get it, but I just have other things that I need to spend money on. And a TV is not one of them.
Yeah.
You know?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. So. All right. Are we at that time already?
We are.
All right. So what have you got going on?
Well, not much really, man. Just working, you know, is keeping me busy. Yeah. And my daughter ready for college. There's a lot to do. You know, she starts the last week of August. So that time goes quickly, as you know.
Yes. Yes, so, it does.
That's really it, man. I'm trying to get back to writing, you know, scripts and whatnot. And I just, you know, having difficulty finding the time. So
I realize
that's boring. That's a boring update, but that's the truth.
Well, far be it for me to not remind you of having a happy birthday. And as I said, when I wish you a happy birthday on Facebook, you are now old enough to order off the senior menu at Denny's.
Nice.
Yeah. And although the senior prices now are what prices used to be for regular dinners like 2 years ago, but, you know, still.
I will tell you what, I used to get mad when I would get the AARP thing in the mail, you know? Then I realized, like, how many discounts you get for that.
Dude, it pays to be an old fart sometimes.
I'm like, sign me the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know? Sign me up.
I am a proud member of AARP.
As you should be.
Yes, because we've lived this long. Some of these young whippersnappers might not.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I don't have much going on myself. I'm hoping to get back to the writing after I've got my eye operation done. And that's really kind of one reason why I've been procrastinating doing any writing, is it's just difficult for me to see very well. And it bothers my eyes looking at the screen for as long as I do at work. And I really don't want to come home and do that, or do it the first thing in the morning. So hopefully, once I get the cataract removed, my eyes will be to the point where being able to look at a screen won't bother me as much anymore.
Awesome.
Yeah. But until then, you can still pick up my books, you know, the paperback copies at Amazon, and you can get the ebook versions wherever ebooks are sold. And also, as well, the audiobook versions of my novels are on audible.com.
Awesome. And having said that, happy 350th anniversary.
Yes, and here's to another 350 more.
Oh, dear God.
That'd be 20 years from now. I'd be 77.
Wow.
67, excuse me. I can't do math. And until next time, mate. Oh, before I say it, if you listen to the show that I posted with me, RJD, and Slate, you will hear me say this ending that I've said all these years from the very, very beginning, from the very first episode. That's how all this ending is. Until next time, may all of your journeys be filled with pure imagination.